كيف يكون للمشركين عهد عند الله وعند رسوله إلا الذين عاهدتم عند المسجد الحرام فما استقاموا لكم فاستقيموا لهم إن الله يحب المتقين.
How can there be a covenant with those who associate others with Allah in His divinity, be binding upon Allah and His Messenger, excepting those with whom you made a covenant near the sacred mosque? Behave in a straight manner with them, so long as they behave with you in a straight manner, for Allah loves the God-fearing. Excepting those with whom you made a covenant near the sacred mosque.
This alludes to the Kinana, Khuzaha, and Damra tribes.
كيف وإن يظهروا عليكم لا يرقبوا فيكم إلا ولا ذمة يرضونكم بأفواههم وتأبى قلوبهم وأكثرهم فاسقون.
How can there be any covenant with the other polytheists? For were they to prevail against you, they will respect neither kinship nor agreement. They seek to please you with their tongues, while their hearts are averse to you, and most of them are wicked. While their hearts are averse to you,
although the unbelievers negotiated a peace treaty with the Muslims, their hearts were nevertheless full of treachery. Their intentions were borne out by their deeds, for whenever they concluded a treaty, it was apparent that they had done so only with the intention of breaking it.
And most of them are wicked.
The unbelievers had neither consideration either for their moral obligations, nor had any compunction in their transgressions.
اشتروا بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا فصدوا عن سبيله إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون.
They have sold the revelations of Allah for a paltry price and have firmly hindered people from His path. Evil indeed is what they have done. They have sold the revelations of Allah for a paltry price.
On the one hand, the Book of God invited the unbelievers to virtuous conduct, to righteousness, and to the observance of divine law. On the other hand, the worldly life offered them ephemeral benefits, which they expected to gain by giving a free, unbridled rein to their lusts. On comparing the two, they preferred the latter to the former.
And have firmly hindered people from His path.
Not only did these wicked people choose error in preference to true guidance, they even had the brazenness to try to obstruct the spread of the truth, to prevent people from responding to righteousness. They tried to gag the mouths of those who invited people to the truth. In short, they spared nothing in their efforts to prevent the establishment of a righteous way of life. They sought to make life extremely difficult for those who, convinced of the truth of their way of life, tried to sincerely follow it.
لا يرقبون في مؤمن إلا ولا ذمة وأولئك هم المعتدون.
They neither have any respect for kinship nor for agreement in respect of the believers. Such are indeed transgressors.
فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَنُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْلَمُونَ.
But if they repent and establish prayer and give zakah, they are your brothers in faith. Thus do we expound our revelations to those who know. Thus do we expound our revelations to those who know.
This reiterates the statement that if the repentance of the unbelievers is not accompanied by the establishment of prayers and the payment of zakah, then they would not be considered as part of the Islamic fraternity on the grounds of their mere repentance. As to the Quranic statement that they would become brethren in faith, it means that if they fulfill the requisite conditions, it would no longer be permissible for Muslims to fight against them, and also that their lives and property would become sacred. Moreover, they would be entitled to enjoy equal rights in the Islamic society. They would be treated like other Muslims in all social and legal matters. Nor would they be discriminated against in any way, nor any obstacles placed in front of them which might impede their progress in achieving what they might be capable of achieving.
وَإِنَّ كَثُوا أَيْمَانَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَهْدِهِمْ وَطَعَنُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ فَقَاتِلُوا أَئِمَّةَ الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَا أَيْمَانَ لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَنْتَهُونَ
But if they break their pledges after making them and attack your faith, make war on the leaders of unbelief that they may desist, for they have no regard for their pledged words. For they have no regard for their pledged words.
It appears from the context that the expression their oaths stands here for their repudiation of unbelief and so their acceptance of Islam. For in view of their previous record of treaty violation, it was simply out of the question for any new treaty to be concluded with them. In fact, their persistent violation of such treaties had brought about the proclamation from God and His Messenger that all treaties with them be annulled. See verse 1 above. The Quran unequivocally declares that no treaty may be concluded with such people. The only way for such persons to be let alone was if they renounce unbelief and polytheism and perform the duties of prayer and zakah. This verse also contains a clear injunction with regard to apostasy. The verse does in fact hint at the apostasy movement that was to break out after a year and a half of Abu Bakr's caliphate. In dealing with apostates, Abu Bakr acted on the directive set forth in the present verse.
أَلَا تُقَاتِلُونَ قَوْمًا نَكَثُوا أَيْمَانَهُمْ وَهَمُّوا بِإِخْرَاجِ الرَّسُولِ وَهُمْ بَدَأُوكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ فَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَوْهُ إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ
Will you not fight against those who broke their pledges and did all they could to drive the messenger away? And initiated hostilities against you. Do you fear them? Surely, Allah has greater right that you should fear Him if you are true believers. Will you not fight against those who broke their pledges?
From here on, the discourse is directed to the Muslims who are exhorted to wage war and to disregard worldly interests, blood ties, and everything else in matters relating to faith. For a fuller appreciation of the true spirit of this part of the discourse, one should take into account the circumstances which then confronted the Muslims. At that time, Islam had no doubt gained such an ascendancy that no power in Arabia could challenge its supremacy. To the superficial eye, it might well have seemed highly dangerous to nullify all agreements with the unbelievers for the following reasons. A. It was feared that doing many things at once, the annulment of treaties with polytheistic tribes, the ban of polytheists from performing pilgrimage, the transference of custody of the Kaaba to the Muslims, and the total abolition of the evil practices of the time of ignorance would be dangerous. It was feared that these steps might inflame even the polytheists and hypocrites into a decisive encounter against the Muslims in their attempts to defend their interests and their inherited way of life. B. The decision to institute Hajj as an exclusively Muslim religious rite and to ban the polytheists from entering the Kaaba was, for the polytheists, highly controversial. This step not only offended the religious feelings of a vast section of the Arabian population, but was also detrimental to their economic interests, for Mecca was the center of the Arabs' economic life. C. It was also feared that the declaration would put the faith of those who had embraced Islam after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and the conquest of Mecca to a severe test, as many of their kith and kin still professed polytheism. In addition, the interests of some of them were closely linked with the Jahiliyyah system. A deadly blow aimed at the polytheists of Arabia implied that recent converts to Islam would not only be required to shed the blood of those who were near and dear to them, but also to destroy the positions and privileges which they had enjoyed for centuries. All of these apprehensions proved groundless, for far from causing turmoil, the public disavowal of all affinities with the polytheists prompted those tribes which had still clung to polytheism to make their way to the Prophet, peace be upon him. They steadily came to him, embraced Islam, and pledged themselves to obey him. The delegations, comprised of ordinary tribesmen as well as chiefs and princes, came from all parts of Arabia. Once they had declared their conversion to Islam, the Prophet, peace be upon him, allowed them to retain their former positions. But at the time when the new policy was being launched, it was impossible for people to foresee the advantages that would follow. It should also be remembered that if the Muslims were not prepared to expend their energies for ensuring the enforcement of that decision, such advantages might not have accrued at all. It was necessary, therefore, at this stage to urge the Muslims to fight in the cause of God, to remove the misgivings which they entertained about the new policy, and to impress upon them that they should allow no consideration to prevent them from carrying out the directives of God. This constitutes the theme of the present discourse.
قَاتِلُوهُمْ يُعَذِّبْهُمُ اللَّهُ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ وَيُخْزِهِمْ وَيَنْصُرْكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَيَنْصُرْكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَيَشْفِ صُدُورَ قَوْمٍ مُؤْمِنِينَ
Make war on them. Allah will chastise them through you and will humiliate them. He will grant you victory over them and will soothe the bosoms of those who believe.
وَيُذْهِبْ غَيْظَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ
And will remove rage from their hearts, and will enable whomsoever He wills to repent. Allah is all-knowing, all-wise, and will enable whomsoever He wills to repent.
Here the misunderstandings of those Muslims who considered that the Prophet's peace be upon him annulment of all agreements with the polytheists would plunge the land into a bloodbath is dispelled. It's pointed out that whilst a storm of bloody strife might well ensue, it is equally possible that the event might prompt some people to repent. This possibility was not, however, clearly spelled out. An explicit statement would, on the one hand, have made the Muslims complacent about their war preparations. On the other hand, such a statement might have negated the grim and threatening tone of the verse. Its present form alerts them to the precariousness of their situation and sets in motion a process that might lead them to assimilate into the Islamic body politic.
أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تُتْرَكُوا وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَا رَسُولِهِ وَلَا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلِيجَةً وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ
Do you imagine that you will be spared without being subjected to any test? Know well that Allah has not yet determined who strove hard in His cause and has not taken any others instead of His messenger and the believers as His trusted allies. Allah is well aware of all that you do.